You're listening to episode 204 of Women Worldwide. How connected are you to nature? And do you feel the energy from an infinite universe? I've got a guest today who is a shaman and a teacher of shamanic practice. So stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. We are powering up the voices and sharing the stories of people who are creating impact, making a difference in this world. I've got a really interesting guest for you today. How many of you have heard of shamanism? Well, if you don't know what it is, or even if you do, you're going to learn more today. My guest on the show is Julie Hannon, and she's the founder of Inner Peace and Wellness. As a shaman and teacher of shamanic practice, she's committed to helping you discover yourself, your joy, and beauty in life. Julie's passionate about connecting with people and helping each and every one of you discover your own special strengths and gifts. In her work, she helps remove the barriers that keep you from your possibility. Julie actually started out in HR, in leadership training, and she's transitioned into shamanic energy healing, and she's here to share her journey and story with you. Julie, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Deirdre. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, I just mentioned in your intro that you have a background in HR and leadership training, and then you transition into this whole other practice and realm, shamanic energy healing. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about this journey to peace and wellness.
Sure. I was an HR executive biotech for the last, well, at the time when I transitioned, I'd been working full-time at a company and helped building it. We'd grown from 140 when I started to 2,500 people, and then we restructured down to 1,200 over the few pre-years prior, and I was looking for something else for 2 years. My kids were little. I loved, loved, loved my work and didn't love my life. I was only seeing them about an hour a day. And I took a big leap of faith, actually not into shamanism at all, just into taking a break from a crazy 80-hour week work schedule. And into that space, someone handed me a book about shamanism. And when I read the book, it felt like a real coming home to myself. And that was sort of the beginning, middle, and end of it. I was recovering from some adrenal fatigue and other issues with my health, having left my job a couple months before, and then found out about shaman school in the fall when I was going a little stir crazy, being at a full-time at-home mom, and was looking for something to do just for a weekend out at Kripalu, which is a local yoga teacher training. It's a local school now that they'd have all sorts of guests and people come teach. So that was a little bit of my journey, but I had studied shamanism in my 20s before I had kids. I had studied with a Native American teacher for a little while and gotten married. I made a medicine wheel on the earth to get married in a sacred circle and a sacred hoop. When I turned 30, I got married. So the call to be connected to the earth has actually been, and my actual experience of being really connected to the earth has been my lifelong path since I was a little person. And then the idea and the opportunity to study it came along when I was 40, and it changed everything for me. To have an opportunity to work with, both to work with the shamans, but also to work with the land and the earth, I would say.
Well, it's so great to hear that you sort of found your way back to something that was a part of you when you were even very little. 80 hours a week is a grueling week. And, you know, sometimes I often wonder why it takes us. I sometimes feel the same way with the amount of hours that are mm-hmm. put into past agency work that I've done. Why it takes so long to discover that it's not good.
Right.
Your joy, right? And you need something else. So that's fascinating. I'm not sure if the average, you know, person or Women Worldwide listener out there knows what exactly is a shaman. Now, you did mention connecting yourself to the earth, but can you kind of give the layman's definition so everybody understands?
Sure. There's a couple different ways to think about it. There's the world of matter and the world of energy. So I assume maybe there's not a good idea to assume anything, but that most people can remember or picture that formula of Einstein's E equals MC squared. And there's the world of energy on one side of the equation and the world of matter on the other side of the equation. The shaman dances with their foot in both worlds. So they access the world of energy as part of their this other realm that we live in, and the world of matter, and dance between those worlds. And they work with this idea of, in the tradition, one of the traditions I study is the Andean tradition from South America, and they talk about the shaman as someone who shifts their state of consciousness at will, whenever they choose to, for the purpose of healing and accessing the information that's beyond our five senses. So they gather information or more than information, sort of new maps of consciousness for the good of the community or the person if you're working in with an individual. The other way I think about it is that the energy healing that we're made up, we're 99, you know, now we have all this great quantum physics, which wasn't so consumable when I was studying 15 years ago, and are accessible to everybody, I guess would be a better way to say it. And in quantum physics, we know that we are 99.99999% energy and 0.00001% matter. And we spend all of our time thinking that matter is what matters. So the shaman accesses that 99.99999% and works with that to help us pay attention to the energy and to change our frequency so that we can have joy and that we can have that even in our work. I have another colleague who says, you know, how do you find the joy in what you're doing? It's not about changing and becoming a shaman. It's about discovering a map of what's going on in your world so that you can access that 99.99999% for your best and highest, so that you can find joy in whatever you're doing, even the laundry.
That's a really interesting breakdown. The large, large percentage of energy and the small percentage of matter. You mentioned working with individuals. Julie, I don't know if you can answer this question right off the bat, but can you, as a shaman, recognize somebody's energy, whether it's lower or higher, to help them sort of construct and move forward to tap into it? Is that something that you can feel or that you recognize through your work?
Well, I want to start by saying in the way we only work with permission. So if someone's in my office, yes, that's absolutely part of what I do. And part of the journey is to release the frequencies that aren't helpful and then to tune to the frequencies that are helpful. So there's lots of ways to do that. I teach a 12-day journey, and we work with frequencies through giving rites and initiations, through transmissions of frequencies that help upgrade our field. I was teaching last weekend and talking about, you know, most people, at least in America, have some version of iPhone, Android or something. And I said, so how often do you update, or does Apple or whoever update your operating system? And they push these things out to constantly upgrade what's available and to change the frequency because there's more information available. And how often do you do that for your own energy body? Because we have a physical body and an energy body, and most of us don't bring consciousness to our energy. And there's lots of ways to do it. and including being in nature and meditating. And I know you've had lots of guests with that kind of experience and being still and yoga and all sorts of other ways. There's many, many technologies, and this is a place of connecting to the earth and remembering. And yes, part of it as the practitioner, as a shaman, is to help people discover where there's a block to joy, basically, is what I say, or love, the universal love.
I remember reading an article a while back about how it's really great to do some grounding. Mm-hmm. You take your shoes off, your socks mm-hmm. off, sit and put your feet in the grass mm-hmm. or in the dirt. And as you speak, I'm kind of thinking there's something to that.
Absolutely, because that's the way we can update our frequency, because the earth, connecting to the earth, allows us to reset our operating system.
Which clearly, I'm sure, I mean, as an entrepreneur and all the entrepreneur listeners, as well as anyone who's in business or has just a busy lifestyle, we probably don't do that update like we do, you know, on our smartphones.
Right.
So it's really important. I'm curious about who would be most interested in sort of this shamanic energy healing. How do people even know that they would need a shaman, and who's really working with you?
Well, it's people who are on a journey to explore, to discover. They've tried other things, mostly. They've tried many other things, and they're looking for their purpose or their happiness. They have a recurring illness that they feel like they should have gotten better from. I've had people come with various different diagnoses, although we're not doctors and I don't work with, so to speak, with diagnosis. I work with someone on a journey and they say, look, I have this thing going on, this medical thing, but I know it's not just a physical thing. Mm-hmm. And most often it's not.
And they want,
right. So it's the body, mind, and the soul and the energetic. So we all know that there's a body-mind connection right now, but then there's these four levels of engagement. So there's the body and the mind and emotions, and then the third level, or the third place of perception, is the soul level. And then the outside, like if you think of them as Russian nesting dolls, the outside is the energetic. And what's happening in that energetic body that's informing? It's the software that informs our hardware, and how do we engage with that? So people come when they're at a crossroads in their life, and they want to... And they're looking for something different to facilitate healing, and because they know that they have a bigger potential than what's showing up for them. And it's it's always a big question. People ask me that all the time. I used to say when I started along, when I was really starting, because I never intended to be an entrepreneur. It wasn't my idea. I want to have my own business. That wasn't even a thought or a draw. Necessarily. And so when I was getting training and everyone said, oh, I went and did a business class, right? And everybody said, you need a niche, and you need to be focused on who you want to serve. And I was like, well, but humans are who I serve. And then I was like, well, and sometimes I help my friends' pets. And so it really is, once you have access to this world of energy, it's important to focus on what you're doing. But really my focus is about helping people rediscover their own connection to spirit and the earth and to live their best life. So, and to give them tools to do that for this time, this 21st century time. And I know in your list of things, we said something about religion, and maybe you weren't going to go here, but shaman is pre-religion. So it's not a religion or a dogma. It's a way of life. It's a way of being in the world that allows you to access the voices of nature.
Somebody tells me, so a lot is in your mindset. You mentioned permission. Somebody, right? Somebody who really wants to take advantage of the energy, and you know, you mentioned body, mind, soul,
yep,
and external, the energy. Mm-hmm. You really can't get to where you need to be to claim your joy unless you've sort of embraced this notion of energy.
Well, yes and no, because everybody comes here with a different experience and this round of being here. And some people can do that, I think, with really clear mindset, with really clear, but you know, there's this place of affirmations, which a lot of people use, and I've used them in my life. And it's one thing to say the words and another thing to start to visualize it. So right. How do you clear the template? How do you clear your way, your energetics, to be able to see new possibilities? Because we get caught up in our left brain way, but in our education, in our schooling, we're taught so much, if this happens, then that happens. And it's a paradigm of probabilities, not possibilities. And really,
anything
is possible.
Anything can happen. And there's all these choices. And sometimes you can even say that the biggest limiting factor is your imagination.
That's right. And I say, you know, imagination is the largest, or Disney says, Walt Disney says, imagination is the largest nation on earth. And so when you join into that place, anything is possible, because, and if you imagine it and then release it to spirit, give it to the fullness of the energetic world of the universe, that's like taking the secret one step further, because you let go of that possibility, you let go of the probability and give it to spirit, and then it's even better than you imagined. And that's part of the story I tell of my life, because I never imagined, for the last 10 years or more, I was teaching for they call the Harvard University of Shamanism for the Four Winds, and I've recently flown that nest, but there's a place of, like, I never imagined traveling the world and teaching shamanism. That wasn't part of my map, and really not even something I necessarily wanted to do, but I loved it, and it was amazing, and it changed everything for me.
That's really cool. Is this Eastern philosophy? Is this, when I think about, we're all energy, we're all connected, Buddhism mm-hmm. pops my mind. So,
well, it's not a philosophy, as I said, it's not religion. The shaman, you know, in the anthropological way, the shaman came from like northern Siberia, from that region when the Bering Strait froze, and walked across the Americas, and the teachings got distributed across the Americas, North and South America, and the medicine teachings are very familiar in their essence, as is Buddhism, as is the essence of Christianity and Judaism. If you go into the spiritual or mystical places of those teachings, they're all the same at the source, right? That if we release our suffering, then we have joy. If we let go of attachment, then we have access to infinite possibilities. All those places are the same. I call them the essence teachings or the truth teachings. They're all the same in the heart of them. And then it's just the dogma that people wrap around them that take them away from the magic to make it a specific practice, or somebody just makes a rule and they, you know, for the specific moment that it's not alive anymore, that rule, but we still live by it.
So what would prevent somebody from trying it? I mean, why wouldn't you just automatically be drawn to it if you knew that you were going to discover your true self, claim your joy, find all your possibilities? What would prevent you?
I think your logical mind, the place that says, really, it's magic, or that I don't believe that could work, or, you know, when I teach my intro class, my first weekend, I talk about Jill Bolte Taylor. I'm not sure if your audience would be familiar with her. She wrote a book called My Stroke of Insight, and she had a stroke completely contained on the left side of her brain. And it was very unique for her because she was a scientist and a neurologist, and she'd spent her whole life studying brains. And she was very, very much caught in the science, in the hypotheticals of science, and that place of if this, then that. And the right brain is all about possibilities. And so if you've spent a lot of your life in the left brain place of logic, and also part of the left brain's job is to doubt, then you have doubt about this. You would say, I'm not sure, I can't see it, I can't touch it. I don't really know that there's an place of energy. How come you have access to it? What do you mean you're telling me that this is happening or that's happening? Even in a way, our meeting was this, for me, was this divine intervention, because it was a crossroads during a time, and we both just happened to be in the same place at the same time for a moment or for a few hours. And now we get to have this conversation. So that is, for me, that's outside of, I can make a logistical map about, you know, I saw that you, Deirdre, interviewed you a few for your 200th episodes, you know, that we both knew, Dolores, that we both knew Dolores, yeah. And we sat in her space and we had that intersection, but it felt more than that to me in the moment leading up to those days and since then. So that's a bigger, it's bigger than just who we are. And the hesitancy is usually because our left brain can't understand this place of possibility.
But you can make your left brain understand. You can rewire.
Yes, you can absolutely. And part of that is through going into nature and growing those connections with your between your right and left brain and having practical experiences. That's why I say shamanism for the 21st century in a lot of ways, because we need to have these practical experiences. You can't read the book about it. You have to actually experience it. And then as soon as you start experiencing it, you start to notice that actually it's happening all the time and we just haven't put our attention on it.
That's amazing to have something that's there, right? And to not be fully utilizing it. I bet there's a lot of listeners right now, if it's warm in their areas, they're going to go walk barefoot.
I have a friend whose kids, she's a First Nations person in Canada Medicine Way, and her kids come home and she actually has moccasins for them when it's cold like this, but she, otherwise they're barefoot. Her kids come home and they hand over all their devices to her, their phones and their iPads and whatever, and she plugs them in to recharge and they go outside, charge the devices and you recharge and they have to go outside for a while their computer stuff charges and they get charged on the earth. So barefoot. So it's really important. It's really, really important.
I think we all need to recharge. Julie, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment.
Sure.
We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor, Pure Performance Communications. And when we get back, we're going to dive back into the conversation with Julie and talk more about her business and finding that inner peace. I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Julie Hennen and I were just discussing her work as a shaman and a shamanic teacher, but most of all, as a map maker, right? Helping other people to sort of open up, explore, and find this map. Julie, it was really interesting to hear and learn more about shamanism and your journey. And let's pivot a little bit more now toward you as someone who is building a business. Mm-hmm. So you found your claim to joy with what you're doing. And maybe you could share a little bit about some of the challenges. We certainly talked about how wonderful it is to travel the world and you're finding so much success. But what about challenges and, you know, around being an entrepreneur today?
Well, one of my biggest challenges, honestly, is that I don't like to sit in front of the computer. and I'm looking right now, I'm sitting here with you on the computer, which is fabulous. And what I've done, I have my laptop and then I have it hooked up to a big screen that's, you know, a little higher and more ergonomically correct. And I put a big altar in front of it because I wanted to make it a little more sacred. So that's one of my big challenges. And the other big challenge for me is that I'm such an extrovert. And so I sometimes find entrepreneurship a lonely business, because we're all sort of in many ways doing it on our own, even. And so these places where I get to connect in with podcast folks or get to participate or choose to participate in groups of people coming together to brainstorm about their business are so important. And it's taken me a while because, I think I said in the first half of your show that I wasn't intending to be a business owner. it was sort of an accidental transition for me. And I know I have friends who've who set out to build their own business and started with a different kind of plan, even from down to the planner they used and everything. They put things in place right from the beginning that I'm going back and retrofitting. So that's one of my biggest challenges, is that community, looking for community and finding it and making it, especially because I'm an extrovert and I like to be around other people. So I actually stayed in human resources. Once I launched my personal, my private practice as a shaman, I continued to consult in human resources for 6 years, to both to nourish my left brain and to have that extrovert interactions, those places of being with scientists and leaders and discovering in a community rather than just in a one-on-one place. It was before I had started teaching outside of the, yeah. So it's interesting being an entrepreneur, as you know.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to wanting to be around other people. I think I feed off of their energy, and I also find a lot of synergy mm-hmm. in groups. I especially noticed that, as you know, and we've had conversations after Noelle passed away, that my grieving process has to include people. I mean, I do take alone time. I take mornings to meditate and to do things for myself, for inner peace and mm-hmm. energy. It's people. And that really helps
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. So important.
I'm on that. Yeah, it really is. When you think about success, and I guess success is different for everybody. It's different in all phases of life. What does it mean to you? Maybe you could define success. And then the second part of the question is, what does failure mean to you?
It's interesting, that word failure. I'm going to start with the second one because I think that failure in a way is part of the place of making new maps is where we put our energy and attention, especially our attention, because where we put our attention starts to take something out of the world of energy and bring it into matter. So even the subtlety of saying failure or success creates a specific gesture in the world. So I think of failure really as an opportunity for learning. I used to say when I was a human resources exec and working with difficult clients or people who were struggling as leaders, people would say, oh, we would get together as HR directors and say, how's it going? What's happening? And some people would say, oh, this one's that, and this one's that. And I'd say, well, there's many opportunities for growth. So failure is an opportunity to say, oh, that didn't work. Let's try something else. You know, throwing sort of that plate. For me, that's how I think of failure. And this opposite place of success is this place of having people have access. And, for, you know, in the very literal sense, it's having full classes and having people show up and having a pipeline of people, but it's more an energetic. Yeah. It's a question for me right now, because having just shifted my thing to be really focused on both partnering with some of my colleagues in the universe, in the world, and also being more, even more of an entrepreneur than I was when we scheduled this call, but because I have, because I'm not teaching for the big organization that I trained with anymore at the moment, it's different. And success is, there's the literal place of success, but really it's getting up in the day and saying, I moved. I had this conversation with Deirdre and more people know about what I'm doing now. And that's what's important. Not that I'm doing it, that it exists at all. So that's part of how I define success, and opening up the possibility of the conversation of even having a shaman on Women Worldwide. Like, that's an amazing, to me, that's an amazing, amazing thing, that there's an ear for this in the universe that there wasn't a few years ago.
This access to energy, it just, and what you said about failure, I completely agree. It's a learning experience. It's what you do with it. But for the success, and you said access to energy, can you fully tap into that 99.999 or whatever that percent is fully at any given time, or is that not possible? Like, are you fully tuned in? Can somebody fully be tuned in to access all of that energy? And what would that look like?
Well, I think we can. I think it's absolutely possible. And I think we do it to a greater or lesser extent. Usually when I'm teaching, because part of what I teach in my classes is a meditation practice to help people open to that. And some people haven't had a meditation practice beforehand. And a lot of people have these days. But it's when I am teaching meditation, I say, have any of you ever had even a few seconds, or who hasn't had even a few seconds of that moment when you know everything is connected? Everybody's right. Had one, pretty much. And some people, my 19-year-old son, for example, will brush it off and say, yeah, no, but that wasn't real, because he's 19 and he's a teenager. And, but we've all had one or two. And so the idea is to clear the pathway so that you have them more frequently and that they last longer. And, you know, if you are a regular meditator, it sounds like you are, some mornings are really quiet and you really do know that you're one with everything. And other mornings, there's a grocery list and the things to do and you're late for the call and you haven't, you know, and you don't really know what it is. It's practicing that gives you the state of meditation that allows you to show up for the infinite. So the more we practice, the more access we have.
So, you know, you mentioned before when you talked about challenges being an extrovert and being in groups. So how are you building new relationships, getting the word out about your business? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? I mean, this podcast certainly exposes you to Women Worldwide listeners and other guests, but what other ways do you feel you can be effective?
Well, up until just recently, I taught through a big school, so that gave me a lot of exposure as a senior faculty person. I lead trips in Peru, and now I'm starting to partner with people who've wanted to partner with me for a while, and I have kept my home life and being a faculty person more front and center. So I'm shifting to having local ceremonies here in the Boston area. And then I have partners, a partner in Canada and a couple partners in Europe. And we're co-creating things because we have a limited, what do I want to say? Because this is a really important time on the earth to help us change the vibration so that we can continue to thrive here as a humanity. And that's also part of my vision. So these partnerships with other women, interestingly to me, very interesting that they're all women, but very exciting, to bring the work out into the world and to make it more accessible are very important for me and for the work right now.
Excellent. What about technology and social media?
Yep, I do that. One of my friends who I partner with, she's in Germany. We're growing this. Our other brand, there's a business brand here, is called Life Passion. And she thinks I have a very big, great platform on social media compared to hers, which is none. So I use Facebook. And I think actually Facebook is a really important, you know, it's the, a while ago, I haven't checked, it was the third largest nation in the world, was third largest group of citizens, China, I forget what the other one, and then China, and then Facebook.
I remember that graphic.
Yeah, so it's an important platform. But I had somebody, one of my coaches that I was working with, say recently, it's important that people can find me, but this work is sort of a fifth dimensional kind of work, and some of the 3D marketing places aren't going to be what brings my business to the world. So I have a great website. I just updated it this year. I'm starting to blog. So it's all shifting. And it's important because this is one of the ways we find each other.
Right. Well, I think that you make an important point. It's one of the ways that we find each other, and social media is all about making connections. And you almost feel like the relationships that develop, you can learn so much more about somebody through social media and technology, but you want to take that somewhere. You know, the best relationships really are in the physical. And if you move from the virtual to the physical, then you're going to feed yourself with great partners and friends and colleagues, and you'll have more energy surrounding you. It's when, you know, I'm of course a huge fan of social media, but it's always making sure that we understand it's a channel and we use it as such. And there's a lot of influence through social media, but at the end of the day, we're still people and we have human connection.
Right. And that, and I think that that's, it's a very, very important, sometimes lost aspect, something that gets lost in social media that we think we're, you know, even a lot of shamanic training going online and my friends who've been encouraging me to bring my voice to an online platform and to have, you know, online classes and make myself more accessible in that way. And I haven't gone there because I so believe in the importance of the in-person. And right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a different vibe when you can, well, there was a lot of energy, you know, Masters in Clarity event that we were at, what Dolores does. But clearly that in-person visit, I think by the time I left, I was hugging you and crying.
Right.
I don't know if you're going to have that same experience online. Maybe, I mean, sure there's video, but how much energy, like you could feel energy being passed through us through that entire group. And I often wonder, is that because we were in person? And can you have the same feeling when you're online?
Right. And I think that there's a place for both. There's absolutely a place for both. And we're, as long as we are embodied in physical form, I think it's important to honor that. And that, and, you know, we can cast, when I'm in person, when I do a mentoring group online, I will say to everybody who's on the phone with us, and we could even do it right now to all your listeners, we could say, let's cast a circle. Put your, face your left hand to the ceiling and your right hand to the floor and hold the hands of the person on either side of you and create a circle and feel the web of energy that goes through the circle of women and women worldwide, because we are the visionaries. The women worldwide are the ones who are going to hold this earth and create change, whether it's locally in our tiny little family or a tiny little community, or like Deirdre does and speaking to millions of people all over the world. So we can do that. And I, as I'm doing that and talking to you, I can feel the energy flowing out my arms and I can feel the circle and I can feel the web over the earth.
It's an amazing feeling.
But it's an amazing feeling. And when you're in person and there's a palm in your left hand and a palm in your right hand and you can feel the energy run through your heart, literally, it's different.
Definitely. Well, like you said, there's a place for both. Absolutely. So maybe you could just share, because you have so much going on in your world with what you're doing with your teaching and your business. Do you have any favorite resources or apps that you're using personally, professionally?
Yeah. You know, I love that question. And the only one I came up with besides music, because I use music a lot and everybody has their favorite music platform, is Insight Timer. It's a timer. It's an application. It's an app. I turned my phone off. It's definitely called Insight Timer. It's got a little brass bowl on it, like a sound bowl. When you find the app, that's how you'll know you're in the right place.
Oh, I have one of those brass bowls with the wooden stick.
Yes, and it's.
I can't make the sound.
Because it's a singing bowl. You have to tap it with the wooden stick, and then you run to get it vibrating, and then you run the stick around the outside. Like a wine glass.
I mean, I've watched the videos. It's a beautiful noise. It's like.
Yeah. So Insight Timer, I love because it has a journal function in it, and it's totally keeps upgrading itself, but it also has access to lots of teachers and free meditations and amazing teachers and you can join a community and follow, you know, a Rumi meditation group so it's a way of connecting to other people if you want to do it that way. But it's also a resource, and it's also simply a bell that you can set interval timers, or you can, you know, set whether you want sticks or bells or singing bowls to be the chime that goes off when your 20 minutes is up. And I use it. I also study yoga and do yoga, so I have pranayama practice, and it can set an interval. I do a 20-minute practice, and I have a 5-minute bell, and then another bell at 15 minutes, and another bell when it's over. So it's a really great tool, and of course, there's a free one and the $5 one. And it's, I've loved it. And it's one of the things that I love about it is that it's evolved along with me in my practice. So it's staying current, which is really helpful these days.
That's so cool. Is it Insight Timer?
Insight Timer. S-I-G-H-T. Insight.
And are you iPhone or are you?
I am iPhone.
Okay. And do you know if there's one available for
Android? I don't know. I do not.
I have to check that out.
I would.
No, it sounds really helpful. Do you, how much, I'm just curious because you are so in tune and you have access to all of this energy. How much do you let the outside world in terms of news come to you? Does that limit your energy or does that, you know, there's lots of headlines, there's lots of news sources. I mean, I'm in communications, public relations, so news is something that I would naturally consume, but I'm just curious, do you find that that is helps your energy or depletes your energy?
I actually find that it depletes. You asked at the beginning of our conversation in the first half of your of our conversation, what keeps people from stepping into this? And sometimes it's fear. And, you know, there's this acronym for fear, or fear is an acronym or an acrostic of false evidence appearing real.
Ooh.
And so much of our news these days is questionable. We used to say in shaman school, I sometimes say, if you want to know how afraid to be, you can turn on Fox News. Because a lot of public relations is about managing the public and how they want to hold you, how they want us to feel. There's, you know, one of the biggest things that people are afraid of now, if you tune into the Weather Channel, is the weather. It's like, well, we've lived here for millennia and now suddenly we're afraid of the weather. It's an interesting paradigm. So I don't consume a lot of it, honestly. And all the important stuff gets through. You know, the fires, to me, some of the important stuff are what's happening to humans. Like the fires in California are very important. The floods in Italy are very important. And I hear that stuff, however I hear it.
Yes. No, that's important. And maybe, Julie, just to round out the show, would you be able to give some parting advice to other professionals or people in general about taking a different path and, I don't know, carving out their purpose, finding their energy?
I guess I would invite your listeners to, and all of us, to breathe in and out of our heart and to take a breath and really find what's in the way of being able to breathe in and out of your heart and to listen to what's your heart long. Your heart's longing is as you step into your work every day, whatever your work in the world is, and your work might be being with kids at home, or it might be, simply being on the earth at all. Or being a painter, it doesn't have to be something so much as we think of as going to a job. And if that's what if part of your life is right now, that's an amazing thing. And you can bring joy there too. So I guess my invitation to people is to find what keeps you from being really present, because all we really have is one moment. And we get very caught up in what happened in yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow. And we have one breath, if we're lucky. So I invite people to be present with their breath and you know, yes, my work is to clear the obstacles to that, to help you to discover what keeps you from being present. And all of our work is to find a way to share, you know, to share the light that each of us are.
That's beautiful and really good advice. Okay, last question. Super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your teachings?
My website right now is innerpeaceandwellness.com. Actually, that pointer will stay there, even though I'm working possibly with rebrand. I have Life Passion also that I'll be growing and Pachamama's project, but you can always find me through innerpeaceandwellness.com, even if I change it to Inner Peace and Joy, which is what I really wish you all, that you all have a beautiful and joyful day and way of being in the world. So that's where you find me. And you can follow me on Facebook at Julie A. Hannon, because that other one was taken. That's my middle initial, Julie A. Hannon on Facebook. So that's where I am these days. And it would be great to hear from any of your listeners, because I love this, the work that you're doing in the world. And I think I do really believe, honestly, that women are that we need to do it. It's our time to call our call to action. And for this, I thank Donald Trump every day for calling us out to bring our world to where it needs to be.
There you go. Julie, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We just appreciate you, everything you're doing. Thanks for your time, your insights, and all of your really good advice. So thank you.
Thank you, Deirdre. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you all to your listeners for tuning in to this great work.
It's been a pleasure. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. You're listening, sharing, and helping to raise the voices of people who are really trying to make a difference, like Julie, in business and life. And if you have a moment, please keep the comments coming. Rate us on iTunes. Give us a shout out on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We always love to hear from you. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.